This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
It's an old story, an old joke, but I'm one who believes that a story carries its own weight. You say, what do you mean by that? A good story carries its own weight, that if it makes a point for you, if it causes you to laugh, if it causes you to respond, then it's a good story, because a good story carries its own weight. It's about the man who is professing his love for his girlfriend. And he was quite eloquent in this card he sent to her, and he said, I would cross the deepest ocean for you. I would climb the highest mountain. I would risk the greatest danger for you. And he goes on and on of all the things that he would do, that he would risk to see and to love her. And then at the end of his note, he said, P.S., I'll be over Tuesday night if it doesn't rain. I'll be over Tuesday night. You have to think about that for a while, some of you. But he was making great protestations about his love for his girlfriend and how I'll do this and do that. And yet, when it said, I won't be there if it rains, meaning that everything was negated by the postscript. You say, what's the point of that story? Simply this: people make great protestations and great affirmations about their relationship to the Lord. Lord, I'd do anything for you. Oh, Lord, I love you so much. I appreciate you so much. I would do this and do that. I'll follow you to the end of my days. And yet the first roadblock that comes along, the first difficulty that comes along for some people, people say, man, I'm out of here. That's it for me. Does that happen? It happens all the time. Even Jesus would refer to people in a parable that he gave just that we studied a few weeks ago, where Jesus talked about different types of soil. The people who had readily accepted the word of God, but as soon as there was a time of testing, the seed died that was planted. Today we're going to talk about Jesus being the Lord of everything. Really, what's referred to in this passage is the Lord of the harvest. That's a title of lordship for Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the most sacred Jewish institution in the life of the Orthodox Jew, and Jesus came along and said, I'm the Lord of that. The harvest physically is an important event in life and farming business today. We don't have an appreciation for that term. But Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the harvest. But he meant more than just the physical harvesting of crops. He was talking about the gathering of souls on the day of judgment. Those who would be saved as opposed to those who would be lost. And Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the harvest. But he really and truly is the Lord of everything. We're going to read a passage today that's one of the most controversial, because it's a passage of Scripture, to be honest with you, that Jesus has taken some heat for. I've actually heard people criticize Jesus for what he says in this passage, but they don't understand it. And I'm going to try to share some thoughts with you on what it means. We pick it up in Luke 9, exactly where we left off, Luke 9:57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. We're going to explain what this message means to your life and mine in 2016. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Go right into chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Charles Malik, for years, was the Lebanese ambassador to the United Nations, and he asked in a speech the rhetorical question, what has been the greatest American contribution to the rest of the world? Has it been money? Has it been medical skill? Has it been military might? Has it been industrial know-how? He said no. He answered his own question. He said, the Lebanese ambassador to the United Nations said, the greatest thing to come out of America has been the American missionary effort. The quiet, selfless men and women who have left the comfort and security of their homeland to bring the gospel of Christianity to less favored nations. Can you believe that? The Lebanese ambassador to the United Nations says, the greatest gift that the United States of America has given to the world has been its missionaries that it has sent out. You say, what a compliment. It sure was. And it's a statement that relates to the passage today where Jesus talks about those going out on his behalf to spread the good news or the gospel. And by the way, that's what the word gospel means. It means good news. It means good news. When Jesus is criticized for this passage, he's criticized because he has a man who says, I will follow you anywhere you go, but first let me go and bury my father. And I've had people ask me this question, why wouldn't Jesus let a man do the simple thing of burying his father? And here's how I explain it. He didn't have to bury his father. Jewish law was very specific that when a person died, they were buried within 12 to 24 hours of their death. I don't think the man had to bury his father at all. I think what he was saying was, when my dad dies, and when I settle the estate, then I'll come and serve you. Then the second man says, well, I want to just say goodbye to my family. In both of these cases, I think what they were doing was setting up artificial timelines to serve Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask you a very personal question. You don't have to raise your hand about it. You don't have to say anything about it. But do you realize that all of us have done that with people in our own families? There are parents in this room who've done this with their children. I've done it with mine, where you set up an artificial timeline. As soon as something happens, then we'll take that trip. That something happens, and the children say, well, what about the trip? Well, when this happens, we'll take the trip. And then that happens. Well, what about the trip? Well, when this happens, and people, you've done it, I've done it, we continually set up new timelines. Think about the last time that you did that with somebody in your own family. But I think you know what I mean when I say we set up artificial timelines. People do that with their spouses. They do that with their children. We do that with friends. When this happens, I will do something else. Let me give you the classic example, and I wouldn't tell you this if it weren't true, because I know the person, one of the people involved. I've told the story here before. Well, actually, this is a very poignant story. It's a very sad story that we tell tomorrow on Cross Hope. We're simply out of time, but we want to remind you of our website, crosshope.org. We want to remind you of a part of the website known as Visual Stories. That's something you both watch and listen to. That's Visual Stories on crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. We'll continue this message and this story tomorrow on Cross Hope. God bless you. Thanks for listening. But I think you know what I mean when I say we set up artificial timelines. People do that with their spouses. They do that with their children. We do that with friends. When this happens, I will do something else. Let me give you the classic example, and I wouldn't tell you this if it weren't true, because I know the person, one of the people involved. I've told the story here before. When my brother ministered in Columbus, there was a woman that had not been there for 6 or 8 months. He happened to run into her Kroger. And he just said, you know, we've missed you. We really have missed you and your husband, your family at church. And she said, oh, Jim, we're just so busy with work, and work is just driving us crazy. And here's what she said. As soon as things settle down at work, we'll be back. And my brother said that as he turned away and walked away, and she said, oh, Jim, tell everybody down at the church we love them. And he said, I will. 3 days later, he got a phone call. Would you conduct her funeral? She was killed in an accident. And here's a woman who sincerely set up the timeline. As soon as things settle down, we'll get serious about our relationship with the Lord. And here's my point. When you set up timetables, artificial or otherwise, for the Lord, you don't know what the future holds for you. Don't ever get to the place in your life where you set up a timetable that, you know, 5 years from now, I'm going to get serious about my faith in Jesus Christ. You may not have 5 years. Don't get to the place in your life and say, as soon as we get rid of the house and we move to another house, or as soon as we get that new job or whatever the case may be, we set up these deadlines and timelines in terms of what we'll do with the Lord. Be careful when you do that, because we may not have that time available to us. That's the point. And I think what Jesus was saying to the people, look, if I'm the Lord of everything, you don't set up deadlines with me. If he's the Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord of the harvest, and the Lord of the Sabbath, and the Lord of eternity, the Lord of all creation, we don't tell him, we don't set up artificial timelines with him. That is the message of Luke 9:57. Jesus said the fields are white, meaning they're ready. And I find this intriguing. Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers. It's the responsibility of the church to pray that God the Father will send out workers. And when you pray that God will send out workers into the harvest field, get this, be prepared for the Lord to use you. When you pray, Lord, send out workers into the harvest, be prepared for the Lord to use you. Jesus is not interested in people saying, I'll do whatever you want, I'll follow you wherever you go. He's interested in people who really will serve him, who really will reach out to people who need him. Jesus sent people out ahead of himself to prepare people for his coming and his mission. I want to suggest something to you. You may have never thought about this before. Jesus may have sent you to your neighborhood for a reason. Now think about that. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, may have sent you ahead to be preparation for your neighborhood. Jesus may have sent you to your company. He may have sent you to your sphere of influence, the people that you come in contact with. And you know, most people don't think of their lives that way. They don't think of that's what they're to do, but I really believe the Lord does that. May I ask you a personal question? Where's the Lord sent you in the last year? What circles have you been traveling in that you've never traveled in before? Could it be? Is it possible? The Lord has sent you ahead just like he sent the 72 mentioned in Luke 10 to reach those for Christ. Marcus Borg is an author who writes about how the Lord touches people. He said the spiritual journey is about the hatching of the heart. I've never heard anyone use that term before, the hatching of the heart. The opening of the self to the Spirit of God. How does it happen? He asks. Sometimes it just happens. The process by which the heart is open can be gradual or sudden. Some people seem more open to experiences of the Spirit, whether it's because of genetic disposition, personality type, or other reasons. But sometimes, he says, the heart is broken open by experiences of grief or despair. Sometimes it comes out of the blue through a spontaneous experience or dramatic conversion experience. And then listen to this. I've never heard anyone say this before. Sometimes it's simply primarily the result of aging. There's nothing about aging that guarantees spiritual transformation. There are older people with hard hearts and bitter hearts. But aging, he says, if not interfered with, does seem to have a softening effect. I want to take it a step further. How does the hatching of the heart happen when the Spirit of God comes in contact with your heart or my heart? Our heart suddenly is open to the things that were never open to in the past. May I tell you how you know the Lord is working in your life? Is when you start finding yourself thinking about spiritual things that you never thought about before. When you start experiencing things in your spirit that you've never felt before, and you come home from a Sunday service, You know, I'm feeling something I've never felt before. I'm sensing some things I've never thought about before. That's called the Spirit of the living God working upon your heart, or to use Marcus Borg's term, it's the hatching of the heart as the Lord is working in your life. I really believe that's to be true. If I could, I want to back up to the very first verse I read, verse 57 of chapter 9. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." I haven't heard anyone say anything in the commentaries about this. This is strictly my thinking, but I'm intrigued by this phrase, as they were walking along the road. Anything ever happened to you spiritually, just driving in your car? You ever felt the Lord speaking to you about something in your life as you were driving in the car, just along the road, taking a walk down your street? And my answer would be, yeah. Many times. I want to suggest to you there are things the Lord does just along the road, just taking a walk in your neighborhood, walking down a trail at a park, that the Lord is open to working in your heart anytime, that it doesn't have to be in the four walls of a building that we call a church. It doesn't have to happen in a Bible study. It doesn't have to happen at a religious gathering. It can happen alongside the road. That's the point of that verse to me. Is here this man has an encounter with Jesus just walking down the road. Maybe he never intended of seeing Jesus, but he did. Maybe you're driving down the road one day and the Lord convicts you about something that's going on in your life, and it's just you and the Lord in the car. That's a spiritual moment. Maybe you're walking down the road and taking a walk down the street and you see something that stirs your heart. I don't know if any of you have ever done this where you've driven through the mountains of out west. Maybe somewhere in the Rockies or in the Appalachian Mountains, and you see a beautiful scene and there's something that stirs within your heart, pay attention. Pay attention to those things that happen alongside the road in life, in those unguarded moments in life. Well, we'll conclude this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. You do know, I hope, that our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. When I was working on this message this morning, I had no idea that the story that I'm going to close with would be talked about on NPR radio this morning. I don't know if it's the anniversary of this event, but I turned on NPR this morning getting ready, and they were talking about Doolittle's Raiders from 1942 in World War II. James Doolittle, a group, I believe, of B-25 Army Air Corps bombers that were on a carrier. The carrier, I think, was called the Hornet. 1942, after Pearl Harbor, there was this desire to have a retaliatory strike against the heart of Japan. And they took these B-25 bombers and they launched them with 450 feet of runway on the top of an aircraft carrier. It didn't make sense. It didn't work on paper, but they were going to launch these planes. If you know the story, a Japanese plane spotted the Hornet 200 miles away from where they were supposed to launch the planes. So the order was given, launch the planes anyway right now. And you say, well, what's the problem with that? They didn't have enough fuel to get back to where they were to land, the designated landing areas. So this group of planes, commanded by James Doolittle, took off these carriers knowing they didn't have enough fuel to make it back. And you say, do you call that bravery? No, Jimmy Doolittle didn't call it bravery. You know what they called it? Doing our duty. Doing our duty. And those planes took off, and one by one, they crash-landed in the ocean. They landed in China. Some of the planes, the pilot and crew just bailed out over China and ended up in prison camps. One of the pilots was a man by the name of Jake DeShazer. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Captured by the Japanese in China, spent the next few years of his life in a prison camp. He found a Bible, somehow acquired a Bible in the prison camp, read it ferociously. It's all he had to read, so he read everything he could get his hands on out of that book. His body was covered with boils. I mean, from head to toe, he had boils, and he said he even had boils on the bottom of his feet. You can't walk when you have boils on the bottom of your feet. He was ready to die, and he thought he was going to die. He's 33 years old, and Jake DeShazer says he was praying. He was lying in his cot, and he lifted up his hands to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm ready to die. Just take me. I know I don't have much longer to live. Just take me. And Jake DeShazzar said he looked at his hands, and he had the sense that the Lord was looking at his hands. And he had the sense that I'm going to die, and I'm going to face God with empty hands. Meaning what? He said, I'm 33 years old, and I never led anyone to Christ. I'm 33 years old, and I'm going to die maybe this week, this month, and I'm going to meet the Lord, and I've never brought anyone to him, and I'm coming to the Lord with empty hands. Well, some of you know this story, what happened to Jake. He got out of that prison camp at the end of the war. He came back to the United States, and he decided to become a missionary to Japan, and he spent 30 years of his life in Japan. Started 20 churches was the number that I read. 20 congregations were started by him, all because of this. He said, I didn't want to meet the Lord with empty hands. I want you to look at your hands right now as I look at mine. Are you going to meet the Lord with empty hands? You're going to go stand before him and say, I'm really glad I was a part of the church, and they're empty. Don't stand before the Lord with empty hands. Decide today that I'm going to take someone with me. Even if it's one person, there's going to be a friend, there's going to be a loved one, there's a family member that I'm going to take with me, because your word says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Well, my friend, is the Lord saying anything to you right now? Maybe he is. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.